for ministering to us in song tonight. We trust that you will consider those two pieces. One, pointing us to the cross where Jesus Christ paid the debt for sinners, and the other, asking the question, what will you do if your soul you lose in eternity? And we thank Michael for ministering to us. Let's stand and we will change our positions. We'll say a word of prayer and then we'll preach the word this evening. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that has taken place thus far in the house of the Lord tonight. We pray that as we come to the conclusion of this meeting, the most important part of it, the explanation, the application of God's precious word, we recognize how important that is, for it is by the preaching of the cross that God has chosen to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And O Lord, tonight as thy word is proclaimed, may it go forth not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Give me now, Lord, plain speech to make known the mystery of the gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll turn, therefore, in our Bibles to John chapter 1. I want to take as my text this evening a little phrase from verse 46 of John chapter 1. It's that final phrase of the verse. Philip saith unto him, that is unto Nathanael, and here is really the invitation, come and see. My title tonight is very simple, a gospel invitation to a skeptical sinner. A gospel invitation to a skeptical sinner. Referring, of course, to these words that Philip spoke to his friend Nathanael. And it was an invitation to Nathanael, who could be described as a skeptic. The Lord Jesus Christ had just begun his public ministry in this portion of Scripture, and he was saving and he was calling his first disciples. You read that in the verses that precede the passage we read this evening. He called Andrew to himself, and Andrew found his brother Peter, and he came to Christ. We believe John was there at that time as well with them. And then it tells us in verse 43, the day after that Simon Peter had become a follower and a disciple of Christ, that Jesus went forth into Galilee, and he found Philip. And he said unto Philip, verse 43, follow me. And Philip, another one of the Lord's disciples, that was the time of his conversion to Christ, the time of his salvation, and he at that time began to follow the Lord. So you can see the Lord is bringing to saving faith, and he's calling his disciples to follow him. Philip had the enthusiasm of a new convert, because meeting the Messiah and experiencing salvation, he rushed to find his friend Nathanael. And he declared unto Nathanael that he had found the Messiah, and he identified him as Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 45, we find him whom Moses and the law and prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. He calls him the son of Joseph. Of course, he was the adopted son of Joseph, for he had no earthly father, being the virgin-born Savior of the world. And so, with that enthusiasm, he wanted to share with others and with his friend the good news that the Messiah had come and he had found him. And he wanted Nathanael to experience what he had experienced. I wonder, child of God, have you that enthusiasm and that desire and that longing that those who you are friends with, your family members, that you want them to experience what you have experienced. But sadly, Philip quickly experienced too the evangelist's discouragement, because Nathanael not only seemed disinterested, but he seemed totally skeptical. You'll see his response at the start of verse 46. He replied, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" What good can come out of Nazareth? And he doesn't seem interested in the person of Jesus. He doesn't seem interested that Philip is identifying him as the Messiah. And in fact, he's questioning whether Jesus could even be the Messiah. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip seemed a little bit stumped, as we would say. And so he simply replied, "Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and meet him for yourself. Come and experience his presence, hear his words for yourself. Come and see." Tonight we stand in Philip's shoes. Those of us who have been born again of the Spirit of God, those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have experienced the new birth, God's salvation. What it means to be a child of God and a follower of Christ. And it's a most wonderful experience. We have a desire that you too would meet Christ, would experience His love, His pardon, His forgiveness, His transforming grace. And you too would become a follower of Him. Yet tonight many are like Nathanael. They seem disinterested. And even when we try to reason with them, they are skeptical. I wonder, does that describe someone under the sound of my voice this evening? You're skeptical about the gospel. Skeptical about Jesus Christ, the salvation that He gives, the change that He can make. You're just like Nathanael. Tonight we stand in Philip's place. We give you the invitation. Come and see for yourself. As the psalmist said, "O taste and see, the Lord is good." Come and experience Christ for yourself. Nathanael went with Philip. Was it because he respected him as his friend? Was it because he was a little unsure in his reasoning and his skepticism? We're not told. But he accompanied Philip. And when he came to Jesus, he found a number of things. I want to just show you tonight, when Nathanael did come and see, I want to show you what he found in Jesus. And if you come to Christ, this is what you will find. I want you to see firstly that Nathanael coming to Christ, he found one who fulfilled every prophecy. Scripture. Look at verse 45. "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was born, Moses wrote about him. The Lord Himself said in the Gospel of Luke, if you just turn back one page, Luke chapter 24, it tells us that when He met two disciples on the road that led to Emmaus, it says, beginning at Moses and the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Moses wrote of a Messiah, one who would come into the world, one who would save sinners. 2,000 years before he was born, he wrote about him. Hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born, the prophets, moved by the Holy Ghost, inspired by the Spirit of God, they made certain predictions about the Messiah, the one who God would send into the world. When Adam fell into sin, God told him he would send a Savior. That's the one that Moses wrote about. That's the one that Peter said in Acts 10 and 43, to him give all the prophets witness. The prophets witnessed of him in their writings. Hundreds of years before he came. We could spend weeks. We could spend months going through the Old Testament scriptures, outlining the messianic prophecies that were given and their fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me mention just the main ones this evening. To show you that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah and Savior that God said would come into the world to reconcile sinful man to himself. It was prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. For in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the first messianic prophecy in the Bible, it was declared that the one who would defeat the devil and deliver humanity would be the seed of the woman. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the prophet made it even clearer. He said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." And when we come to the Gospel of Luke, we read of how Mary looked in the face of the angel and asked how it could be that she could be with a child, seeing she knew not a man. The Old Testament said he would be born of the virgin supernaturally, and he was. Then the Old Testament teaches us that he would be born of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David. For in thy seed, God told Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. And it was seed, not seeds, for it speaks of one. It speaks of one descendant of Abraham who will bless every nation with salvation. In Genesis 49 and verse 10, we're told that he would come from the tribe of Judah. For unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ, the Messiah, whose son is he?" They say, "The son of David." For it was prophesied and predicted he would be of the descendants of David. Now you read Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapter 3, and you will trace the genealogy of Jesus Christ right back to David, and further back to Judah, and further back again to Abraham himself. Come through the line, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Judah, the house of David. And just as it was prophesied and predicted, so Christ was born of Mary, adopted by Joseph, and both traced their pedigree back to Abraham. It was prophesied further that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth he that shall rule my people Israel." The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And oh, Joseph and Mary, they were settled in Nazareth. How could the scripture be fulfilled? But oh, the Roman emperor, he declared that every man should go to the town or the city of his lineage that they might be taxed. And so Joseph had to make his way to Bethlehem. And he took Mary, his espoused wife, with him. And there they made their way to Bethlehem that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus Christ would be born, just as the scripture said, in the house of bread in Bethlehem. When you come to the Psalms, you read that he would die by crucifixion. They pierced my hands and my feet. In the Psalms, we read that he would rise from the dead. Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou would not leave his soul in hell. Nor would they suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And so it's prophesied he would be crucified. He would rise from the dead. His body would not see the corruption of the grave. It was prophesied that he would ascend into heaven. The Lord said unto my Lord, Psalm 110, verse 1, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And it was prophesied that he would save his people by his death and resurrection. Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 11, by his stripes we are healed. By my knowledge shall his righteous servant justify many. My friends, I've just given you the base outline of his genealogy, his life, his death. It was all prophesied in the scriptures from his virgin birth, the tribe he would be born from, the place he would be born. He would be despised and rejected of men. The way that he would die, that he would rise from the grave, ascend back into heaven, and he would save his people from their sins. Tonight I invite you, like Philip did to Nathanael, to come and look at the life, the ministry, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and see that it was all foretold right down to the smallest detail, thousands of years before he was ever born. And I ask you to see and honestly assess, this is the one whom the Lord promised to our first parents in the Garden of Eden, who would come into the world, who would provide salvation. Jesus Christ, I say to you, on the basis of the fulfillment of Scripture, he is the Son of God. He did die for sinners. He is able and he is willing to save all that come unto him. Come to him and you will see. He is the one that meets all the requirements of Scripture. He is identified as the Messiah and the Savior, the one that you must look to and trust in for the salvation of your soul. But then when Nathanael was coming to Christ, he found not only one that fulfilled every prophecy, but he discovered one who knew every person. As Nathanael accompanied Philip to see Jesus, and as he was approaching, look at John chapter 1 again, and let's notice a number of things. There is a declaration from the Lord Jesus there in verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The Lord Jesus, he'd never met Nathanael in the flesh. Nathanael had never had a conversation with him. Yet as he's approaching the Lord just points him out and identifies him. He knew he was an Israelite. An Israelite indeed. But then he went a little further and he gave an honest assessment of the type of person that Nathanael was. He knew all about his person, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The word guile means deceit. No deceit in you, Nathanael. In other words, he was an honest man. He was an honest sinner. Nathaniel, it seems, was the type of man, if he was walking behind you and you dropped, let's just use present day language, you dropped a 20 pound note from your wallet, he wouldn't pick it up and put it in his own pocket. He'd tap you on the shoulder and he'd say, "You dropped that from your wallet, sir." No guile, no deceit. His word was truth. He spoke the truth. He wasn't trying to deceive anybody. He wasn't a schemer. He wasn't a deceiver. He wasn't one of these characters that he was out to make his own way in life, and whoever he had to tramp over to get to the top, he would do it. No, he was an honest Joe, as we would say. Can I just add there that though he was an honest Joe, he still needed God's salvation. The fact that he was honest and sincere, and that described his character, he still needed to meet the Savior. He still needed to become a follower of Christ. He still needed God's salvation. But the point that I am stressing is this, that as he approached the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ already knew all about him. He knew the type of man he was. And I want to tell you this evening, Jesus Christ knows all about you. And he knows the type of person you are. And he knows whether you are a Christian or whether you are still in your sin. He knows whether you're the skeptic or whether you are sympathetic to the gospel. He knows whether you're a deceiver or you're honest in your character and your personality. He knows all about you. And that declaration of the Lord Jesus prompted Nathanael to ask the question. He's puzzled. And in verse 48, he asks the question, "Whence knowest thou me?" How do you know me? It baffled Nathanael. He'd never met him in the flesh. Maybe Nathanael was thinking, "Has Philip told him all about me?" Sometimes there are those who have testified of that. They've been sitting in gospel meetings, and as the minister is preaching the word, they've felt that the minister is speaking about them and about their situation, and they have wondered, "Has my friend, the person who invited me to the meeting, has my friend or my loved ones told the minister all about me before I came, and he's preaching now about me?" Nathanael wondered that. How does Jesus know about me? My friend, when the minister is preaching, if he's describing you, it's not that the preacher has done his homework on you and decided to put a little bit in his sermon just exactly about you. It's the Spirit of God working through the ministry of the Word, convicting your soul, speaking directly to you. And as Nathanael asked this question, the Lord gave a response, and it's a revelation. Look at verse 48 again. "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Before Philip came anywhere near you to call you and invite you to come unto me, you were sitting under the fig tree, and I saw you sitting under the fig tree. I seen what you were doing. I know the type of person you are. And it sets forth, this little passage sets forth the omniscience of Jesus Christ. As Peter declared in John chapter 20, "Lord, thou knowest all things." And the Lord was probing Peter, challenging him, did he love him? Peter confessed, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." The Lord knows all things, and he knows you. He knows what you're doing. He knew what you were doing this morning. He knew what you were doing this afternoon. He knows what you're doing this evening. He'll know what you're doing tomorrow morning if he spurs you. all things about your life are naked and open before him. He sees it all and he knows everything about you. He is the Son of God, manifested in the flesh, the omniscient, all-knowing Son of God and Savior. And it was this revelation of Jesus Christ to Nathanael that he knew all about him that prompted Nathanael to come and confess Jesus Christ as his Savior, as the Messiah, and the King. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi or teacher, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He's acknowledging, do you see that little phrase, the King of Israel? If you have a margin in your Bible and you trace the references to the Old Testament, you'll discover that it's a title not only of the Messiah, but of the Lord himself. And it reveals that Nathanael confessed Jesus Christ as God, as the King, as the Son of God, and as the Messiah and Savior. I ask you tonight to recognize that Jesus Christ is all of those things. He is God manifested in the flesh. He is the King of all the universe. He is the Son of God who came into the world as the Messiah to save men from their sins. And given that he knows you and he knows everything about you, you can hide nothing from him. And one day you will have to stand before him as your judge and the Lord of all creation. Give an account of your life. May this knowledge prompt you to, like Nathanael, receive Christ and confess Christ as not only the Messiah and Savior, but as your Messiah, your Savior, your King. As it convinced Nathanael to confess Christ, will you confess him? I trust that you will. There's one final thing that I leave with you this evening. In coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, come and see. Nathanael found one who fulfilled every prophecy. He found one who knows every person. But he found one who explains every picture. You see, after Nathanael confessed Jesus Christ as his King and as his Lord, the Savior said to him in verse 50, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? In other words, you believed because I revealed that I saw you, I know you. The Savior said, thou shalt see greater things than these. That's the promise to the convert, but particularly the new convert. You don't have a full knowledge of Jesus Christ when you begin to follow him, when you trust the Lord for salvation. But the promise is that when you receive him as your Savior, he will reveal greater things to you. He will reveal more to you about himself, his person, and his work for you. And that was the promise that he gave to Nathanael. You'll see greater things than these. And then he tells him, and he gives him one example in verse 51. He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. We're not told if this was fulfilled in the first coming of Christ and Nathanael saw it. There's a school of thought that says hereafter, that it's after the first coming. It's at the second coming or in glory. But this is the promise he gave Nathanael. And Hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. But the Savior took an Old Testament picture. It's a picture from Genesis chapter 28. When Jacob was running away from home, getting away from his brother Esau, who'd threatened to kill him because he received the birthright and the blessing instead of Esau. And he had to go to Paddan Aram, and he stayed there for 20 years with his uncle Laban. But as he was going away, he came on his first night's journey, and he came to Luz, and he'd nowhere to rest his head, no room, no home, no place. And so he lay down and he put his head upon the stone for the pillow and he went to sleep. And as he slept, he saw heaven opened. God spoke to him. The Lord showed him a vision of himself in heaven. Vision of God in heaven. He showed him Jacob in the dust on the ground. And between Jacob on the ground of the earth and the Lord in heaven, there was a ladder. And it says in Genesis 28 that the angels of God were ascending and descending upon that ladder. My friends, it's a picture of the gospel. For man is a creature of the dust, and he's sinful, and he's on earth, and God is in heaven, and he's light, and he's holy. And what is it that bridges the gap between sinful man and the dust of the earth and a holy God in heaven? It's that ladder. And the Lord was showing Jacob that man is separated from God in heaven, and the only thing that bridges the gap is that ladder. The Lord is saying to Nathanael, he's explaining the picture in John 1 and 51, Jesus Christ is the ladder. The angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He is the ladder that bridges the gap from sinful man in the dust to a holy God in heaven. And if you as a sinner want to get to heaven where God is, there's only one ladder. And it's the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must go by him. Muhammad will never take you to heaven. He's not the ladder that bridges the gap between sinful man and a holy God. The Pope of Rome is not the ladder that bridges the gap from sinful man to a holy God. No church, no institution, no sacrament is the ladder. It's the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord explains this little Old Testament picture that says to you and to me, if you want to go from the earth and from the dust to the glory of heaven, then you must come in faith by the way of the ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ. May you do so, for it's the only way you'll have eternal life. You'll be in the everlasting and eternal kingdom when your short life on earth comes to an end. May God bless his word tonight to our hearts. We'll bow in prayer, and as we do so, we give the invitation once again. If you're not a Christian, then tonight, as Philip said to Nathanael, we say to you, come and see. Come and see in Christ, the Lord Jesus, one who fulfills every Old Testament prophecy. One who knows you and knows every person. He knows you personally. He knows all about you. And he explains the picture of the gospel. To get from earth to heaven, you must go by him. Come and see him. Come and meet him. Come and trust him for the salvation of your immortal soul. Our Father in heaven, do bless us tonight as we have considered thy word. Should any who have heard the message this evening in this building or listening on over the internet and they're out of Christ, maybe they're skeptical, maybe disinterested, Lord, may they come themselves and see the man Christ Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and what he is willing to do for them personally in their lives. Save the lost, convince the skeptic, as thou didst to Nathaniel, and win many to thyself. Take us to our homes tonight in safety. Gather us again in thy house in time to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.